Powered by Riverside.
Welcome to Garage Take Season 3, Episode 27. Do us a huge favor, if you have not done so already, hit that like, follow, subscribe button. Hop over to the Garage Takes YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button there as well. We greatly appreciate it. We are still alive. I want to remind everybody of that. It has been a 2-month-plus hiatus since the Super Bowl, but we've got stuff to talk about. And Brant, I want to welcome you in first and foremost, man. Can you let everybody know how you've been doing?
Dave, I've been doing really good. You know, we haven't been grinding on the pod, but that's okay because, I mean, July through February, if you listen, you know, we're here every single week giving you our thoughts and takes, and we're going through the bets. Don't forget about that. But I want to remind everybody, if you're looking to sponsor the show, the starting bid right now is $0.00. So if you can muster up anything more than that, we'll give you a shout out. We'll do a whole thing for you guys, just as a reminder.
I like that. Good little plug there. And yeah, we've got stuff to talk about. I mean, it is the Tuesday of NFL draft week, so we absolutely have Lions stuff to talk about. And next week, we do plan on getting in a final episode. I mean, we haven't really talked about that, Brant, but I would imagine that will probably be the final episode for season 3, unless some earth-shattering news comes out with the Lions or Michigan football. But that should put a bow on season 3, and we will be on a pause until July when we get back at it. But we got a couple of episodes. We're going to make the best of it. And Michigan football just had a spring game this past weekend. And Brant, I know you tuned in. I did as well. I think everybody's eyes were on the quarterback competition. Everybody knows that as Michigan's coming off this national championship campaign, the roster – The coaching staff is somewhat depleted. I mean, Michigan is sending like a record number of players into the draft here. That's going to be happening in just a couple of days. But it seems like Michigan is keeping the ball rolling. And Brant, I know you had talked with me about, you shot me a text and you're like, this is the difference right here between Michigan and Ohio State. And we'll start right there. Is Ohio State's out there playing two-hand touch in their spring football game. And Michigan just continues to bring a different element of physicality, of toughness. And I think it showed through. And I think everybody's eyes are on the quarterback competition. We're obviously looking across the board at this team. But, Brant, just some overarching takeaways that you had after the spring football game, for whatever that's worth. Yes, it's spring football. I guess I should have said that to start. But your thoughts and takeaways from the Michigan spring game.
Yeah, so let's start right there with the Ohio State situation. And what immediately where my mind goes is everybody's been calling you soft, and everybody's been kind of saying how you guys are, you know, you're not up to the Michigan standard of trying to play bully ball, stuff like that. And this just plays into the narrative of that. And if I have a coach that's going out and saying, you know, where's Lou Holtz right now? You know, we all remember the clip from last year, and that's where my mind immediately goes. And it's like, dude, Ryan, you should let these guys hit each other, because that's football. And what you're playing out there is patty cake. And I can't believe the executives at Fox are going to be okay with this. There's no way that they looked at that product and said, yeah, we want to show that again. Nope. It was a glorified, Dave, I can't believe I'm going to say this, it was almost worse than the Pro Bowl, because they're blowing stuff dead and nobody wants to watch the Pro Bowl. I know you don't. Nobody has interest in watching these guys play two-hand touch or flag football or whatever. So again, you have Ryan Day running around telling people how tough you are. Ryan, here's a newsflash. Whatever you did in that spring game, that's not tough, man. This is not what your fans came out there to see. And if Dave, they charged for people to go to that. They charged $10 a head to go watch basically a practice, and guys stand on the sideline and play patty cake. Cool for you guys. You guys had your moment. That was really cute. There was actual football when Michigan took the field.
Well, yeah, I mean, you said that perfectly. I have nothing else to elaborate on. Yeah, it was an embarrassment. We at least had football to watch when Michigan came on here this past weekend. I want to zero in on the quarterback competition here, Brant. I mean, Jack Tuttle, who is, we know it's like his seventh or eighth year in college football. He's you know, coming off an injury, think he's going to be okay. He'll definitely be in the competition fold here. But you definitely got to see a dose of Alex Orji, of Jaden Denegal, of Davis Warren, and of the true freshman, Jaden Davis. And so, Brant, I want to know your thoughts on what you saw, what you liked, what maybe you didn't like, and maybe some question marks that are still out there lingering for you.
Dave, my biggest takeaway from Saturday was I think Jaden Davis is the future. I saw a lot of poise from him. You know, you saw the pretty ball he threw to Peyton O'Leary. He didn't catch it, but he looked like as mature as a freshman as I've, I guess, seen in a spring game. I'll put it that way. And Dave, it's a spring game. We're not going to have a ton of takeaways about Jaden Davis from this. But I thought he looked like he commanded the offense. He looked like a mature guy out there. And you know what's funny is we look at a guy like Jaden Denegal, and I think we both agree that ain't it. And maybe he finds a home somewhere else. But he's been in the program now for a couple years. And he did not show what Jaden Davis showed to me, Dave. So I think he obviously moves up the depth chart a little bit. You touched on Jack Tuttle. Seventh year guy. I mean, what more do you want to say about him, Dave? If he's going to be our starter this year, that's it. We're all in on him, and it's going to be his 1 year to shine. I don't necessarily believe in that. I do like the prospects of Davis Warren. You know, he threw a couple balls out there, and maybe we're saying this about Jack Tuttle. If he got his chance to shine, maybe he throws a couple touchdown passes or something. But Alex Orji, let's touch on him real quick, Dave, just as far as the runner. You know, he's going to give you the dual threat aspect, and we all know how important that was with JJ last year and how he was able to take a 3rd-and-10 power play and just pick up 11 yards. Those cannot be undersold, Dave. So I think it's a clear competition between Orji and Davis Warren. A little bit of Jack Tuttle, obviously we didn't see him, but I think his hat's in the ring as well. I think Denegal is far down the depth chart, actually behind Jaden Davis is what I have to believe. And then Jaden Davis is break glass in case of emergency.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that Alex Orji, look, right out of the gate, you know, people are going to knock just some of the throws that he missed on, and rightfully so. I mean, I think the concerns about Alex Orji are, you know, can he throw the football? Every time Michigan brought him in a package last year, everybody knew what they were doing, right? He's going to run it. And he's very good at it, too. And I think that's an element that just, like you mentioned, Brant, defenses are going to have to prepare for, even more than JJ, because he's more of a runner. And he's tough to take down. He's a big guy. And I think that as the game went on, he seemed to settle in. He did make some, he made some nice throws, even if they were short, but he made the right play. And I liked what I saw from him. Am I slapping the table like we're not missing a beat after JJ McCarthy? No, absolutely not. I mean, I think this will continue to be a big question mark as we head into next season. And Brant, I'm not sold that the starter for the first game is going to be the starter when we play Ohio State. I think there's a possibility that this could be a fluid situation. We're just going to have to wait and see. I think true freshman Jaden Davis did look good. I don't want to see him this year being QB1. I think that he's not ready for that. But I think what he is ready for is to be sort of worked into the offense, just like JJ McCarthy was as a true freshman. And I think that by the time year two comes around for him, I think he's going to be the guy. Like, there's nobody standing in the way from Jaden Davis being the guy. I don't know who's going to be the starter. Nobody does. I don't think Sharon Moore knows who his starter is right now, day one. Who knows what the transfer portal might lend itself to. We aren't sure, but there were things I liked, things I didn't like about Alex Orji. Jaden Denegal had a horrible spring game. I feel for the kid. He's been in the program. He didn't do himself any favors. And look, Brant, I think there's a pocket of Michigan fans that are watching that game and saying, look, Davis Warren. He looks like the guy right now. He threw the best balls. Like, it looks like he can manage the game. He's cool, calm, collected. And I can't hate on that take. I'm not even sure what camp I'm in right now, if I'm being quite honest. But I just I think one of the things that I wanted to bring up, too, and just speaking about this Michigan offense in general and beyond the quarterback is, you know, Donovan Edwards looked for the short time that we saw him, it looked like Heisman campaign loading. And I'm not trying to be the Michigan slappy, like hitting the hype train already, but we know what Donovan Edwards can do. And we know he struggled last season for a majority of the season. But man, when it came national championship time, like, there's the Don, right? And the Don right now looks like a leader, sounds like a leader, and looks like he's ready to just take control of this offense. He's going to be one of the best running backs in the country. What I don't know, or what everybody knows, is that Michigan wants to run the football. Whether Jim Harbaugh is there or Sharon Moore, they're going to run the football. They're going to want to be tough in the trenches. That's what they do. That's the brand of Michigan football. What I don't know is this offensive line. You're replacing an entire offensive line, and yes, you've got guys ready to come in that have been in the system, and hopefully they don't miss a beat. But I think that that's something people aren't talking about enough, because you may need a quarterback this year that can make some plays, like even more than they needed from JJ. They had an elite offensive line last year. Now, yes, they did have some flaws. No, maybe it wasn't the line they've had, you know, the last couple of years, but it was a very good line. We don't know what this line is going to be just yet. I think that that's actually a pretty big deal that we are not going to have the answer to right now. We may not even know till the season starts, but this offensive line is going to have to be really good for Donovan Edwards to be really good, especially when we know what Donovan's weaknesses can be, which is being patient, hitting the hole, breaking that first tackle. I mean, it looked good in the spring game, but it's something that we're going to have to wait and kind of see. And, you know, I'm curious to see, you know, just what this Michigan offense looks like. It seems like the wide receivers that are out there, like, look, yeah, like you're seeing Tyler Morris, like we know Samaj Morgan will be in there, but somebody's gonna have to step up. And I'm very, very curious to see, you know, what this offense looks like. And on the defensive side of things, like, I think defense is going to be just fine, if I'm being honest. I feel pretty good about the guys that are returning here. You bring back Mason Graham. You bring back Kenneth Grant. You've got Will Johnson. These linebackers look good. Ernest Hausman comes back. That Barnum kid looks good. Like, I feel pretty good about this defense. Losing Rod Moore is an absolute killer. I hate that for him. I hate that for this team. But look, when one man goes down, another needs to step up. And I feel confident this Michigan defense can do that. Brant, do you have any final thoughts on this this Michigan spring game, this football team, and just where things stand as of right now here on April 23rd?
Yeah, just defensively not concerned. I know, and you didn't even mention Derek Moore, and I think he's about to have a breakout here. He seems to begin to slide into that outside linebacker, defensive end role that I think he's just going to cause all sorts of havoc this year. And then I do want to address the Alex Orji, Joe Milton comparison, because I've heard that a lot just on different stuff. And I think it's crazy to think about where the program was with Joe Milton and where the program is now, and just maybe how Joe Milton would have played under the way that this team does now. I mean, the speed and space, Josh Gattis, like he was a part of that whole tree, which Dave, we saw time and time again, did not work. I mean, 9-4, 2-6 in the COVID year, 2-4 in the COVID year, whatever it was just a really bad system. And Joe Milton was, I think, honestly, he kind of took a lot of the wrath for how bad that offense was. He did not throw the ball well, but I don't think we just automatically assume Alex Orji is going to be like Joe Milton. So let's just chill on that train real quick for everybody.
Last thing I'll say is I think that this Michigan team is destined to repeat as national champions? No, I don't. And that same token, I feel as college football landscape is going to look very different here in the fall with massive changes in the Big Ten and in the SEC, the expanded 12-team college football playoff. I think that if Michigan's ceiling can be sneaking into that 12-team college football playoff, I think that they're the team, especially because they're a tough defensive minded team. They're a team that nobody's going to want to play. And that's without watching this team play any football yet. I just have a feeling that no, this isn't going to be the dominant season where we're going undefeated and, you know, whooping up on everybody. Like, they're going to have some games right out of the gate, right? We know Texas is going to be here real, real soon. But if the ceiling of this team is sneak into the 12-team college football playoff and let's see what happens, Brant, I don't hate our chances. NFL Draft, Brant, coming live to us this Thursday right here in Detroit. It's exciting. We haven't talked Lions here in quite a while. There's been a lot of movement. You know, you've got the trade for Carlton Davis. They did give up a third round pick for that. You got the signing of DJ Reader. I know people really liked, amongst some other moves as well. I want to kind of zero in though on draft night for Brad Holmes. The Lions have, I believe, the 29th pick overall. They've got their second round pick and at least one of those two third round picks. I believe it belongs to the Vikings. And we don't need to go all the way through the draft, but I want to know, Brant, what are your top needs kind of in each of those tiers? Maybe you can't define it that way, but you know, if the Lions are sitting there at the end of the first round, what are you hoping that Brad Holmes does with that pick?
I think certainly corner's got to be in play for this team right now. I also believe receiver, it could definitely be a player here. Dave, I know you and I talked about this too. It's like if they go and they want to run 12 personnel and they want to get a tight end and Brock Bowers keeps slipping and they're INM and Brad wants to move up to go get his guy. He definitely – Brock Bowers seems like a Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell guy, workaholic, will do whatever it takes on every down type of dude. But I think those are the three positions of most need right now for me. I would say cornerback, receiver, and I guess tight end, although a tight end kind of fits in with everything else. It's kind of a luxury pick at this point. Tight end, offensive line, if you want to go that way, defensive line or defensive end, all kind of luxury positions to me, Dave.
Look, I think that what's going to be very different this year is, well, first of all, we're not picking in the top five or top 10. Like, this is pick 29, and that says a lot where this team is at. You're 30 minutes away from making a Super Bowl this past year. We all remember that very clearly. I think this draft will be interesting because, first of all, like you said, Brant, I don't know if it'll be Brock Bowers. I love me some Brock Bowers. I don't know if they need Bowers and LaPorta, but I wouldn't hate it. Like, I think if anyone could get creative with that, it'd probably be Ben Johnson. So, that would be cool. But I really think that this team, they may not be drafting a starter at 29. They may not be drafting a starter in the second round. Like, that's just where this team is at. And that's not to say that they're set at cornerback or they're set at edge or they're set on the offensive line or wide receiver. I just think that there's a real scenario where you may get a rotational guy that's looking to contribute day one, and you may need to be okay with that pick. I'm talking about a guy like Chop Robinson from Penn State or Darius Robinson from Missouri. It's like these are guys on the D line that, and there's a whole tier of those guys that likely will be available around that time. Look, they may not be every down players and that's okay. Cause that kind of shows where this team is at right now, but you want some day one contributors, which is exactly what Brad Holmes has been known for. And I think it's going to kind of leave their options wide open. Like, I don't think that, they absolutely have to go and get a corner at 29. Would I like it and be happy with it? Absolutely. You know, you've heard Kool-Aid McKinstry, like in that sort of tier of cornerback. And I guess I like Kool-Aid McKinstry. I'd be happy with that pick, but I'm going to just use this as an example. You're not getting Sauce Gardner level of cornerback at 29 overall. You just aren't. Cornerback's a premium position. And normally premium cornerbacks are going to go in the top 10, and you're not seeing a lot of that this year. And maybe the Lions make a trade. Like, it will not shock me at all, especially with the draft being in Detroit. We hear the ding, 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 and it's like, oh, the Lions are making a trade and moving up, whether it's to get the top cornerback on their board or, yeah, you mentioned Brock Bowers earlier, or maybe an edge rusher. I don't know, but I don't put anything past Brad Holmes. And what we know about Brad is he is going to go and get his guy. One way or another, he'll either wait. Brad Holmes may trade back. I know we're talking about them trading up. Brad may trade back into the second round, into the 30s or maybe the early 40s, and people may lose their minds Thursday night in Detroit as they're waiting all night for them to make that pick. He might trade back and either get a player or get some more draft capital. And I think that the collective feeling around Detroit is, in Brad we trust. But I'm just kind of prepping people for that too. Like, I think there's a lot of directions that you can go here. At the offensive line position, you know, you obviously lose Jonah Jackson. I know they brought back Glasgow, but they've got some big decisions to make here in the very near future about Taylor Decker. And, you know, amongst others on that line too. And so I won't shock me at all if they've got, you know, an interior offensive lineman high on their board that they're going to take at 29. Like, I'm cool with that too. Brant, I'm also okay with, you mentioned wide receiver. Look, you want to go get you an X receiver that we know the Lions have needed. Maybe you go get a Keon Coleman that's sitting there at the end of the first round. Like, I would be totally okay with a pick like that. And so, I kind of tee that up to say, like, look, man, there's a lot that could happen. But I kind of want to shift it to, we know that there's a lot that can happen. Brant, what are you hoping will happen?
Are you talking at 29 for the Lions?
Yeah, 29, okay. even in like the first two picks, like, what direction are you hoping that they go?
Okay, let's start there. I'm hoping for a Tarian Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, a Kool-Aid McKendry slip where they don't have to move out of 29 and it falls right to them. So to me, that would be the most ideal situation for the first round. But in the second round, maybe, and maybe you package up your two third round picks and you try and your second round pick or something like that. And you try to move up to the very first, you know, couple spots of the second round and you go get your, maybe Brian Thomas is sitting there. Maybe your receiver is still sitting there that you absolutely love. And that you go get like a Keon Coleman, I haven't seen in many first round, you know, mocks, but I've seen him in second round mocks and I know he's going to go at the, probably the end of the first, early second. So you like Keon Coleman, you go get him. Like, you pair him with J-Mo and Amon-Ra comes back and then all of a sudden you have that trio of receivers. I love the fact if they can go corner, receiver, and then you kind of fill in holes from there, Dave. What do you think of that?
I don't hate that at all. I think that I would also be – I've talked about these positions already, but I'm going to be so comfortable with – and this is how much I trust Brad Holmes just in – like, this is what he does. Yeah, I mean, you can argue he's had some misses here and there, but – all in all, the guy can scout talent and he knows how to build a football team. And so I think the beauty is they're not pigeonholed into having, like, we absolutely need a cornerback. Like, no matter what, that's our pick. The best cornerback available, we're taking it. I do not believe for a second that that's what Brad Holmes is going to do. And so I'd be happy with the top cornerback on their board, the top offensive lineman on their board, or the top edge rusher or wide receiver on their board. Like, those four for me at 29, I'm going to be so comfortable with. And even into the second round as well, or I should just say their second pick, because who knows, by the time this all shakes out, like, they may not even be picking in the second round. But I do think that they're in a position where, like, they're sitting pretty good, not comfortably, but they're sitting good in terms of like, you still have on opposite side, Aiden Hutchinson. you still have a guy like James Houston. You brought in this offseason Marcus Davenport, which is, I know he's had some, you know, an injury history. You still got Josh Pascal there. So there's like three guys right there. And then you've got like DJ Reader, Aleem McNeil in the middle, and John Kaminsky still there in Hutch, obviously that's your guy. But man, if there's some way that they can help Hutch out, I think that could unlock a lot for that defense. And if they are strong up front, if they are unstoppable up front, it's going to make it easier on whatever cornerback they didn't draft in the secondary. And so I'm okay with that as well. Go ahead.
Dave, I got a question for you. If Kool-Aid McKinstry is there at 29 and Cooper DeJean is there at 29, which one do you want?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, dude, give me the Big Ten. Give me the Big Ten guy. Give me Cooper DeJean. I don't think Cooper DeJean will be there, Brant. I think he will go off the board before Kool-Aid McKinstry. And I like Kool-Aid McKinstry a lot. I think he's a high IQ player. He strikes me as a Dan Campbell guy too. But so does Cooper DeJean. I'm okay with either pick. What about you?
Yeah, I would love Cooper DeJean, but I don't know if he gets past 25 past the Packers. Seems like a Packers type guy. I don't know. There's so many good. I just want to say this about this draft, because of the COVID situation and everything, and these guys being, you know, fifth year seniors and everything like that. It's just like this draft is so deep. And there's so much talent from top to bottom in the first two rounds that it's really, if you trade back, you're still going to get a lot of talent late in the second, I believe. So trading back this year is going to be very valuable for a lot of these teams. And I know we're going to talk about a couple of them, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of moving and shaking, I believe, in this draft. People, you know, there's going to be a run on a player at some or on a position at some point, and people are going to want to hop in.
Go ahead, Bradley. Did you have one last thing that you wanted to talk about regarding this, and we can wrap up here?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to ask you about the quarterbacks, Dave. I would be remiss if we didn't talk at least a little about JJ and where you think he might land. But I think there's pretty clear. There's four quarterbacks that are the top four quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, obviously, we know is probably going to go number one. And then it's a crapshoot, Dave. I mean, the more that comes out about the Commanders sitting at two, mixed reviews on everything. It seemed like Jaden Daniels for a while, and then it kind of got messy from there. But we'll go over the other three: Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and JJ McCarthy. Dave, your first question is: who do you like the most out of those three? Bias aside,
I like the prototype of Drake May. I think people have kind of stopped talking about him, and not that he's like Josh Allen or anything like that, but I do think that he just has the build, the look, and the skill set really of an NFL quarterback. I think all three of these guys are really good. Like I think that JJ has gotten a ton of buzz, in my opinion, rightfully so. But like, I think people are forgetting about Jaden Daniels too. Like, I think he's a very, very good quarterback. I don't know how he will be as an NFL quarterback. Brant, I think like just the, even adding JJ into this conversation and even Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, like at the end of the first round, it's like there, if you just look at the history of the draft and these quarterbacks that are taken early on, like, I wish I actually had those lists in front of me. I could read you, Brant, so many guys that we were like, dude, coming out of college football, or like, this guy's like, he's next up, and it doesn't work out. And that's the majority of these picks. And there's a reason why there's so many teams looking for a quarterback right now. A lot of these teams have drafted quarterbacks and it's not worked out. I think that all three of them could be good. I think that Drake May is, to me, he's the number two overall pick, and people have kind of stopped talking about him. I got to say my piece about JJ, and then I'll let you talk real quick, Brant. Yes, I cannot put my bias aside, okay? I think that JJ McCarthy, he may not be ready day one, but I would love to have him on my football team. And it's hard to find guys that are just winners and selfless, especially at the quarterback position. JJ came into Michigan, did everything as a five-star quarterback, and he knew he wasn't going to be throwing the ball 300, 400 yards a game. That's not what Michigan does. But he plays a winning brand of football. He does what it takes to win. All of his words are backed up by his actions. And you talk about a leader, a guy I want in my locker room. I will take JJ McCarthy like every day of the week. I will. I think that he is not going to be one that's going to dazzle, you know, day one. And he is one that's going to make probably a lot of poor decisions, if I'm being honest, like a lot of trying to make something out of nothing and some interceptions and some frustration early on. I can see that for JJ, especially depending on his situation. Let's talk 3 to 4 years from now. I think JJ McCarthy is going to be a pretty dang good NFL quarterback. Go ahead, Brant.
Yeah, I'm gonna disagree with you on the JJ situation. I think he'll be a okay quarterback, but I don't know how he stacks up right now because we don't know how he's gonna fit in the NFL. That's the biggest outlier. And Dave, you're right. He's gonna work his tail off. He's gonna be a winning type. You know, he's gonna do everything he can to win, stuff like that. But I don't want to talk about JJ. I want to talk about Drake May just real quick because I really was hoping you were gonna be like, no, I don't like Drake May. No, I love Drake May. I think he's better than Caleb Williams. And I cannot believe, you know, a lot of people are like, well, that's, you know, that's out of left field a little bit. I don't think it is. If you watch a lot of his film from North Carolina, they were only in games because Drake May was keeping them in games. That dude is like, he feels like Andrew Luck a little bit to me. He feels like a 12-year, 14-year type dude that's going to stick in the league, be able to make all the throws, and he's got like the family tree of like, you know, NBA players, NFL players, stuff like that. But I think there's going to be an interesting move. There's going to be interesting moves that happen in the top four, whether the Vikings are going to want to trade up and get in there. The Raiders are now in talks maybe of moving up and going to getting a dude like Jaden Daniels. So I just think there's going to be a lot of interesting things that break out here. I wouldn't be surprised to see JJ slip out of the top 10. I know a lot of people have him no matter what, guaranteed. He's not going to get past the Giants at 6. I wouldn't be completely sold on that. I think JJ probably interviews super well, and that's why people have him, you know, going in the top 10. But right now, if you're going based off film, he's behind Bo Nix and Michael Penix, right, Dave? Like, if you're going solely off what you've seen from the quarterbacks. So I think there's a little bit left to be desired for JJ. However, I'm a little biased too. I love the kid. I think he's going to do fantastic in the NFL. But I think you're probably right, though, Dave. Let's see in 3 or 4 years. I don't think in years 1 or 2, he's going to have to learn how to be a professional, how to you know, manage his body. He's going to have to get a little thicker, a little bigger, all those types of things. So, but if for my money, Dave, I'm with you. Give me Drake May all day, dude.
All right. We're locked in step. That's never a good sign. On that note, I want to thank everybody here for sticking with us here on Garage Take, Season 3, Episode 27. Make sure, if you haven't already done so, like, follow, subscribe, hop over to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button there as well. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, if you've made it this far, we are likely wrapping up next week with our final episode here of Season 3, and we summarize the NFL draft, and then we will be back in July. We will see you next week.
Powered by Riverside.